Hello, I'm Jeremy Rivera, your unscripted podcast host. I'm here with Justin Oberman, who's going to give himself a nice introduction about what he does, with a focus on what his experience is that has makes him a trustworthy figure in his particular niche.
Okay. Wow, where do I begin? I'm an advertising guy. I started in my father's insurance business, and I took over the marketing stuff, and I realized, well, this is sort of what I'm better at. That in sales, fourth generation salesman as well. And so learned a lot from that, but entered the advertising world later in life than most people would, I'd say, as a copywriter, and worked in big agencies and worked on big ad campaigns and was there before Facebook ads and all the digital stuff took over. So got that experience. Once that took over, then made the smart move of learning performance marketing and direct response relatively quickly. So I'm very versatile ad creative who can kind of go both between brand and direct response, and I really don't see the difference between the two. Had my own in during COVID during COVID the I was creative director at an agency, and like a lot of people lost my job when the two clients that I was working on stopped advertising, cut their budgets during COVID. My wife gave me an ultimatum. She said, "You need to either start your own agency or find something else to do." And at the time, I didn't know what to do, so I started my own agency, and I did it during the pandemic. So I couldn't network or anything, so I just went to LinkedIn and I just started posting every day. And I would say that between LinkedIn and word of mouth was the crux of my business always. I built a strong personal brand on LinkedIn, and people were always asking me, "Hey, can you do the same thing for me? Can you do the same thing for me?" And I'm like, "I'm not one of these LinkedIn guru people. I'm an ad guy." Long story short, I got it eventually to hit seven figures, but then I burnt out because I'm a creative person. I have no business running a business, and sort of started. I read an article about how ghostwriters on LinkedIn were making $700, $800 an hour, and I'm like, "Oh, well, people wanted that anyway." So I didn't start a website or anything. Just at the bottom of my post, I just continued to write about advertising. But at the bottom of my post, I just said, "Hey, if you're still reading and you need help on LinkedIn, and want to do what I did, DM me. I'm taking on like five clients as a experiment." Long story short, two of my first clients that I picked up that way are still with me today. That was 2 years ago. And or a year and a half ago. Well, I don't know. I'm not good with time. It was a while ago. And I think and I just started getting more and more clients that way, and it became 50% advertising, 50% ghostwriting, until eventually like the ghostwriting just completely took over. But what I actually soon kind of realized was the ghostwriting space was getting very saturated. And the same thing with personal branding. And also with AI, I would say that the really good people, the people who get it, they knew that AI wasn't the answer. So they were still hiring me, and I'm actually really not worried about AI taking over ghostwriting or anything like that, because writing is so much more than that. We can get into that, it's become very saturated, and I think probably because of AI. Like now, everyone thinks they can be a ghostwriter. But I think the stuff what I kind of realized was that the stuff that I was doing for my clients was a little bit different than just ghostwriting and even personal branding. My philosophy, I hate the word personal branding because my philosophy is that brands spend billions of dollars every year in order to not come across as a brand. So if you're a person, why the hell would you want to become a brand, right? Like brands spend billions of dollars trying to become a person, And you're like, I want to become a brand. I mean, give me a break. The whole, if you read the very first article about personal branding, the whole thing was about using branding techniques in order to help sell your services and sell yourself or present yourself better for job interviews and stuff like that. It wasn't about actually becoming a brand per se. Anyway, the point is that, so I had a really tough time sort of defining who I was. And then I picked up this book by, do I have it here? Yes, I do. I picked up this book here, Phantom Fame by Harry Reichenbach. Harry Reichenbach was basically the guy who invented Hollywood. He was a publicist in the early 20th century. Really fascinating life. Started as a carnival barker. Talked about how he used to hoodwink people and how you pickpocket people. Anyway, the point is he was a publicist, made the movie Tarzan famous, made the actor Valentino famous, made a lot of famous actors famous. And I'm reading about his exploits and the things that he did to bring attention to, say, a movie or to bring attention to an actor. One of my favorite stories is he took a no-name actor, grabbed him by the arm, and walked him down New York City to the studios, because all the studios were in New York City at the time, to the studio. And while he was doing it, slowly dropped pennies out of his back pocket. And what that did was, is it caused a huge crowd to form around and follow him. And so by the time he got to the studio, he had this huge crowd around him. And then he walked into the studio and he said, "I would like you to meet so-and-so." And the studio people like thought this guy's already famous because he's got this huge crowd around him. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, this meets so much of what my philosophy is about LinkedIn and stuff. Like I do not believe that advertising or marketing is about persuasion. I don't think it's about selling. I don't think it's about even storytelling. I think those are all techniques for what the main thing that advertising and marketing and branding is, which is showmanship. And it's just hands down, you can't argue against me that the person who puts on the best show wins. It's the fastest and quickest way to success. I'm not saying that you can't become a big business by doing very careful and diligent performance marketing for 10, 20 years. You can.
Yeah.
Right. But if you want to do that faster, put on a show. Right. And so for my clients, I very much make them put on a show. I make them create controversy. I create controversy between them. Sometimes I make them fight with other people. I had one client get sued, by a major company. And then it convinced him to let the lawsuit go because it would be good for his business. And I do these types of things because, you know, a lot of people don't like to admit it, but attention is for the most part manufactured. If it's not manufactured, then it's luck. Like Haktua girl got lucky, right?
Yeah.
And fame matters, and on LinkedIn impressions matters, all of these things matter. And so I said, well, I'm just going to tell it like it is. Like, that's what it is. That's what matters. That's what I do. I manufacture attention for my clients who are mostly, not all, but mostly in the advertising and marketing space. And so I figured, just as Hollywood and Broadway have publicists for the shows and for the actors and the directors, why shouldn't the ad industry, why shouldn't ad agencies also have a publicist and a publicist for ad campaigns that advertising agencies work on, for advertising creatives, founders, executives, et cetera. Or I also, you know, if very creative executives in any industry, as long as you have like an attitude, I can help you. And I'm not just talking about like a normal publicist that's a press release pusher, but the type of publicist that I am now calling myself, because I think that's the cleanest word, is I'm a publicist, is the kind that manufactures the attention. It's not about who I know in the press. It's that I know what the press wants. And
that's
the other thing, the other thing is that I can, what Harry Reichenbach didn't have back then was social media. So
yeah.
I can use social media also to get the attention of the press, but also I can use social media to just bypass the press if I wanted to. We have all sorts of different techniques that we use to get the attention of, to just get attention. Like I don't, at the end of the day, I'm a publicist. My main job is to get my clients' attention by any means possible. If that's using the press, great. If that's using social media, great. If like whatever it is, like that's what we'll do to get it done.
I love that because I come from the SEO industry, and I think this piece of things has kind of slipped the attention, or we don't think of it in those terms. We think, oh, I need to get my client ranked and showing on the first page of Google for a search. But when it really comes down to, that is a form of attention, you know, and it's a reflection of the visibility, you know, in the attention economy for that particular service, for that entity, that person within that. I think swapping that out, because I feel like our niche had a golden age of the past, 10, 15 years, where all we needed to do was just focus on these fundamentals of X, Y, Z, create content, get links, and, then you'll rank and then you get paid. But now with introductions of LLM-based search tools and with AI overviews creeping into the mix at Google, those tools that do that search are based more off of a consensus, and a consensus on the online side is about attention. And so if you are a business that's not showing up, it's because you're not getting an attention because you're not doing anything that's worthy of attention. So I really like the direction of this conversation. It's a topic that I usually don't get to broach. So when it comes to, the output of that, are there additional things that you do on the digital marketing side to capitalize on that attention, or content that you create to catch that attention? How does the bigger picture play out once you, get past the choice of doing, you're going to do something to create attention? So then what?
Trying to say that you just blew my mind. I didn't even think about that, but that is that's such a great case study that's such a great sales thing for me to make.
Oh, you hear the doggy, Obi?
I just want to reiterate what you just said. Like, SEO in the past was based on, keywords and writing the right things and where you could almost engineer I wouldn't call it the attention, but engineer the findability, right? Or the discoverability of a person, place, thing, object, brand, product, whatever. Which by the way, is, an SEO guy wants to call what I do sleazy. Like that's pure pickpocketing, carnival trickery, if you ask me, right? Like that's because it's like, well, we don't have to do anything special. We don't actually have to read people's minds or tell the fortunes. We can just, hoodwink, people and into thinking that this is the most important thing. No offense to you and SEO people. I'm just saying that, like, it's all a game, right? It's so like, you combine SEO with other types of good marketing, then like that's not the case. Like P.T. Barnum has this rule, the number one publicist, right, in the world, right? Which is like, it's okay to humbug somebody as long as the thing that you offer or the thing that you're selling is better than the humbug. Then people don't care, right? Then people don't get, like, I don't care if I'm looking for window blinds and your thing comes up first in it because of SEO if you actually make good window blinds. What do I care, right? Like, thank you very much. But, but what you just said about how AI just changes the game, because AI is all about, it's almost like a person. So it's analyzing it. It not only is it like a person, but it knows me and it kind of knows what I'm looking for. And it's based on relevancy. And so if you're not, it's going to call up the things that everyone's talking about or doing or whatnot, for the good or bad. That's how AI works. it's contextual. And so you need to, so traditional SEO methods are not going to trick AI into doing that. In fact, I would say AI is engineered to almost get around these things. And then therefore your best SEO strategy for AI is to do things that get attention, to get into the news, to get into the media, to get into whatnot. And I would say that oddly enough, where SEO has then transferred to is social media, right? Because that, from my understanding, that's basically the TikTok algorithm is based on SEO, which means like your content matters more than your follower count. So you have to put the right SEO into your TikTok video or your LinkedIn or your this or that in order for the content to get better, which if you ask me, means that you should remove the social from social media. Because now it's a broadcast medium. Now it's exactly what Google search was, right? So, but so I just wanted to reiterate that because I thought it was really insightful. But to answer your question about things that we do, we have three levels, right? We have like the ghostwriting part, the personal brand part, because we still believe in like branding. Brands. As a person are important. I think branding is mostly BS. And what I mean by that is I don't think you don't sit and strategize these things. You do. Like brands are created by doing things, not by thinking about them.
A brand is a representation of or an outcome of things that you put out there. Like you become known as the unscripted SEO guy by doing unscripted SEO podcasts. You become known as, you know, Rand Fishkin was in our industry, was known for the whiteboard, you know, he put a whiteboard behind him and he did these videos. Like that was, you know, branding through action.
Yeah. And so, I'm not going to get into that now. I teach this. I give a free masterclass every month. And this is one of the big things that I talk about, like stop strategizing. Literally, please stop strategizing. Understand that you have a private self and a public self. Give yourself permission to make your public self whatever you want it to be and put on a show. Like we're all actors. We're all acting. If any of us showed up how we really were, we would turn away everybody. So like, let's just get, back to that. But to what you said about what do we use in terms of digital marketing and stuff. So again, I'm kind of a weird anomaly in the sense that I'm a brand advertising guy who can create performance marketing. I think they're all relevant. I think they're all one and the same. I think the best ads do all of it. And as when we say, okay, you need to build a brand. So this is the weird part, right? Like if you need to build a personal brand, what does a brand do? Well, the brand advertises. What type of advertising does a brand do? Not just brand awareness. They also do performance marketing. They do all the types of ad. So a lot of people will build a personal brand and they think, oh, a personal brand is all organic social. No, why? A regular brand is not just all organic social. They also pay for space. So you should too. You should buy ads. Even if it's not an ad to buy now, even if it's just purely a brand awareness ad, just get your face out there multiple times. I think in my industry, it still seems a little weird saying this because I'm a publicist. In my industry, that's a very rare thing. PR people and publicists like to see themselves very different from advertising people. But there's one guy who's sort of my favorite ad guy in the world, Howard Luck Gossage, who basically invented interactive advertising in the 1960s by creating coupons that you could write into and get responses back and stuff like that. But more importantly, relevant to this topic, when you really analyze the way Howard Gossage worked and what he did, none of his ads were really ever about the product that he was selling. They were always about something else, like an event surrounding the product. And because what his trick was he created an ad about an event around like FINA gas stations. So FINA gas stations and pink air for the tires and write in to get free pink, you know, balloons, you know, to find out how many kids you have, you know, and basically that it was their way of finding out how many kids had, because the place with the most families is the place where they should build more gas stations. But anyway, the point is he created this whole thing about pink air, and it became this whole thing, and the news picked it up. And his he called it the ad platform technique, where, you know, he would create like a thing, and then he'd get a response, and then he would respond through the ad. And he almost treated advertising as his publicity springboard. He would create sensational ads, you know, that would get the media attention, and then basically the media would do the rest of the work. Like, the people didn't have to buy any more ad space because they were just all over the news. So, and I'm a big fan of that, and we will 100% do that. I'll tell you that one of the things that we do, and it sounds easier, so I have no problem saying it. People are like, why are you giving away a secret? First of all, I don't care. Well, go and do it if you think you can do it. But what we do is, for our clients, what we do is, you know, our clients will write LinkedIn posts. We'll help them, right? We tell them what to write about, stuff like that. And this is just LinkedIn. It could be X, Twitter, X, Instagram, whatever. But in terms of managing their social media, so when a post does really, really well, or let's just say, like, one time I had all of my clients post about the same subject for 2 weeks just to see if I can get it to be a cover story or a main story that Adweek and AdAge and whatever would cover. And sure enough, it worked. And what we do is we don't just rely on the organic. I mean, most of the posts that our clients do very well, even better than me. What we do is we then take those posts and we boost them as thought leadership posts. And we make sure that those posts also have an image of the person, like their face. But we don't target the audience that they want for revenue. It's a very light spend. That would cost a lot of money. We target everyone at Adweek, everyone at AdAge, everyone at the New York Times, everyone at all the publications. We target the press. And we put tons and tons of dollars behind it. And people say, well, do they perform well? Do they perform well? I don't know. As long as they show up in the person's feed, they perform well. I don't care if the ad, it's nice if it's nice if the press, you know, clicks on the ad, reacts to it, connects with my client. Like, that's a bonus. I don't really care. All I care about is every single time someone from Adweek signs into LinkedIn, the first thing that they see when they start scrolling is my client's noggin, my client's face and their post, and the amount of likes over and over and over and over and over and over. That's the way advertising works, over and over and over and over and over again. And that builds trust. It's like, that's a face that I know. He must be important. It must mean something, whatever. And so the next time I reach out to them, or the next, they're like, oh yeah, that guy, right? People forget that's the main goal of advertising, the repetition, right?
Yeah, that guy.
That guy or that girl or that, you know. And so we will use the performance marketing ads that way. And it's a waste of, I mean, it seems like a waste of money because we're not actually, you know, counting clicks. We're not counting, like, it's not what it's about. And then we will, you know, if our clients need sales and they need quick turnaround, we will create performance marketing ads for them on LinkedIn or whatever platform they think is necessary. But again, the performance marketing ads will always be them. It's always coming from their personal brand. Them, it's them selling it, right? Especially on LinkedIn. We manage that as, you know, as well.
I think that's an interesting lesson, because to transport that into the SEO space, I think that type of strategy, that type of visibility, I always try to apply that to the concept of link building. Like, someone put out an article and they're like, oh, you know, I made a link bait article and I wanted to get it out in front of, you know, consumers. And I was like, you're just wasting your time. Like, if your objective is to get other sites to link to you, then you need to be looking at who are the publishers in the space and become so ubiquitous that connecting with you and referencing the stuff that you made is like obvious. And so there's this whole like back industry in SEO of like, oh, I'm a link builder, and like, oh, I build, you know, link magnets, and then I do cold outreach through Twitter DMs or whatever. And I'm just like, you're going about this wrong, because what you really should be doing is looking how to have a conversation in the public space in front of the people that are writing about it. You know, like if it's in the SEO space, like if you want to get links for your software, your SaaS that does something in the SEO space, whether that's LLMs or, you know, a fancy calculator or a forecaster, then you really need to be having a conversation in front of and for and to with other SEOs, showing that you know your stuff. And, you know, of course, you know, throwing in that resource that you made for that, because then when somebody's got to break out and, you know, their boss told them to write another blog post for their agency, oh, Jeremy was talking about this last week, I'm going to reference that. Like, that's how you actually get links from the attention economy, as opposed to the hard, bitter work of, you know, trying to do all of this link building outreach, which is now so metastasized and so cancerous that, like, you join LinkedIn and you get 10 people from foreign countries messaging you and saying, hey, I've got a list of 500 sites to buy links from. Like, you know, I think we need to be more creative in our industry in that side of things, and take the lesson from the attention economy, and take the lesson from the personal branding side of things, and apply that to the business of, like, if you want to get seen, you know, have these conversations. I love that concept of building these personal brands, taking impressions, and really changing the game in terms of, like, what are you trying to do here? And I like my wheels are turning, and I'm thinking how to apply this to some of my customers of like, okay, how do we get in front of the people that are writing about our industry? How do I get in front of the press that has a byline? Like, what, where are they? Where do they participate? Where do they aggregate so that I can get there? Because that's going to be a higher value than trying to cold email spam somebody at this point, you know, with a, I have a resource, please link to me kind of email.
Not only that, but it's the most trusted. Like, if you look at the scale, like, advertising is the least risky, but also the least trusted. And once you see it's an ad, like, trust goes in. PR is always trusted because it's invisible. Or, you know, publicity is right, because people feel like they've discovered it on their own and whatnot. But you're 100% right. You know, Jeremy Mitchell, who's the CEO of and founder of Movement Strategy, which is a, or it's called Movement now, which is a social media agency, brand building, mostly organic, right? You know, he has this philosophy called social centric marketing. And, you know, the idea is, it's like, okay, you could post cool stuff on social media, but the real goal of social media is not to become so well known to posting for what you post and what you say, but it's for about how people talk about you. So the end goal should be that whatever you do, even if you make a billboard now, even if you make a TV commercial, all of it should be done with the idea of, will this be shared on social media? Right? When you flip that script, when it'll be shared on social media, then it'll be also shared in the regular media. When you flip that script, you know, Crispin Porter Bogusky, you know, they had a, when Alex was there, he, you know, the brief was written in a certain way, and you were not allowed to present ideas to Alex. You had to present press releases to him. Will this idea get talked about? Like, that was the leverage point. And again, like, they were very influenced by Howard Gossage. So it really all comes down to Gossage, and why Gossage is a promotions and publicity man more than an advertising man. But you're 100% correct. I'm not going to say that SEO, like I said, SEO can either be really, really sleazy, or it can be really, really beneficial, because when you match good SEO, just regular SEO, with that strategy, and you bring those two things together, that's a powerful place to be, right? Because you have these link and inbound leads coming from major press organizations, which I imagine way more. I don't know how SEO works, but maybe way more. But they definitely weigh more in the public's mind, right? Yeah, and so, you know, and that probably, that's not an artificial boost. Even if you, if you artificially create, the point is that you make it look as organic as possible. That's how the game is played. And anything you can do to leverage. I used to shy away from the word fame because it seemed like overpromising. But then two people who I really respect in the ad space, Bob Hoffman, who doesn't like you guys, any sort of digital marketing SEO, he's very anti you guys. He thinks you're all fraud, but that's besides the point. Bob Hoffman and Rory Sutherland, right? So Bob Hoffman says very cleanly, he's like, all advertising is guesswork. Nobody really understands how it works. It's all a gamble. And the only thing that really matters is fame. The more famous you are, the easier everything becomes. And he says, if I were a CMO at a company, the only brief I would give my ad agency, any ad agency, even my performance marketing agency, is three words: make me famous. Because when you're famous, everything becomes easier. Tums and Alka-Seltzer do not have to advertise today. I don't know when the last time I've seen a Tums or Alka-Seltzer ad, honestly, in my life. But my kid went and bought Alka-Seltzer. Like, why? Like, because they spent billions and billions and billions of dollars over four decades on the most powerful advertising media ever invented, television, right? I still say that. It's still the most powerful. Even though, because everybody at the time watched it. It's imprinted in people's minds and psyches until someone comes and disrupts it. They're famous. So Rory Sutherland puts it another way. He was responding to his TikTok fame, and he says that all marketing is probabilistic. And he says marketing is like, it's like a casino, except that the odds are really in your favor, because it's the only type of betting that you can do where you're allowed to count the cards. You're allowed to see the dealer's hand. You're allowed to do all of these things, but it's still probabilistic. But most importantly, he said, and the weird part about it, this one, is that the more famous you are, the better the odds are in your favor. The more famous you are, the greater the chances you have of getting lucky become. And I was like, damn, that's solid, you know?
That also seems to solve one of our problems, or one of the consistent questions I have of, well, I've got a boring business. I do gravel delivery. I've got a stairhandrail.com, we install stair handrails. So is the answer to the boring industry is you create a persona who isn't necessarily out there pitching stair handrails, but maybe talking about people falling down the stairs, or like the home safety expert guy. Like, what is it? Create a series of videos of the stupidest ways to die in your own home.
You don't know. You just got to try them all, and the answer is going to surprise you. And chances are, like, you just all the time someone says, no, you can't do that. Like, push a mannequin down the stairs and watch it break. Like, you can't put that in an ad. Okay, let's see. Right? I mean, Liquid Death is proving everything wrong. Who would drink a thing called liquid? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so
yeah,
that's what I mean. It's funny, the interview where I saw Rory Sutherland talk about this, it says the best ads don't make sense. And so for a boring business, yeah, boring businesses are great because there's room to do lots of, you don't even have to be that crazy to stand out in the beginning, right? I always say that every industry needs a Dogecoin. You know, so you got like everyone knows what Bitcoin is, and the smart and savvy people know what Ethereum is. Everybody knows IBM. The smart and savvy people know Apple, right? But the real geeks and weirdos and whatever use Linux, or like they're not using a computer at all, or they're using whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so every industry, yeah. And like it's the same thing. It's you know, Dogecoin is like the joke. It's the success loves irony, you know, type of thing. It's the joke that's inevitably going to seed because people don't like to be so serious about everything all the time. So every industry needs a joker. It needs one that come out there and be like jazz hands and puts on a show. The car industry, who is that? For the longest time in the 60s, it was the Beetle and Volkswagen, right? Today it's Tesla, right? And so every industry needs that. So yeah, today it's all about that fame and attention, and that will just rocket. And here the thing.
So
about
is there
that, though,
such a thing as bad attention, or like going too far in a particular way of like, you know, you're a car dealership in Queens, like. Is there something too outrageous that's going to boomerang and be harmful, or can you really like just shoot for the weird or throw something, some spaghetti at the wall?
The great thing about, you know, the place to build brands today is organic social. And very few one hit wonders. The thing is when you do it, it's going to be a one hit one. It's going to be a one hit. Like when you do it, it's going to feel like, to a lot of people, like you just appeared out of nowhere, but you've probably just been posting weird stuff for a year and none of it's resonated. Like you have to have a lot of thick skin and realize that if I put something on organic social and no one reacts to it, that's okay because nobody saw it. Right? Not like I paid millions of dollars and put it on broadcast TV where millions of people saw it. Nobody saw it.
Yeah.
And even then, probably nobody saw the bad commercial either because it was so bad. Now, if you do something cringy and some people might say it's cringy, but at the end of the day, that could be good. You don't know. You just don't know. A really, really good example is the guy who runs Savannah Bananas. And he has the saying, too. It's like he says, attention beats marketing 100% of the time or something like that. And his whole thing is, I just gave my social media team just like, what are we going to do? Let's do it. It's like we had 3rd trimester women, pregnant women on the field during halftime dancing to the song Push It, right? Didn't perform well, like didn't do well social media. Okay, move on. Like didn't take it down, but like, let's move on. Like let's you know, they tried something else and they just kept doing it. And eventually they land on something and you figure out, like, this is what I'm saying. The brand you'll discover by doing things, and you have to have thick skin. Now, in terms of whether or not there's anything like bad attention. So, you know, P.T. Barnum is famously quoted as saying, there's no such thing as bad publicity or whatever. He never said that. But to a certain extent, it's true. But again, only if the item, you can get bad publicity. But if the thing that you're selling is better than the publicity, then you're going to be okay. Now, obviously, you can't go and kill somebody. And if you're selling diapers, you don't want to go and do something, you know, you don't want to make dead baby jokes. Like,
right.
You use some common sense, right? But then again, you know, for example, let's just take Bud Light, for example. So you remember the whole thing with Delvaney and Bud Light and it came out with the transgender person drinking Bud Light and they lost all. I personally think that was engineered. I don't think that the creative director team knew about it being engineered. I think that they casted them because they knew that they would create something like this. I think, because when you look at the studies, Bud Light used to be the number one beer. When people asked, name a light beer, people said Bud Light. At the right before this, they were number three. Right? Now, as soon as this went into the news and stuff, they became number one. But not in a way that we'd want to be number one. Smart people, anyone who's read Edward Bernays and reads his book Propaganda, or read Harry Reichenbach, or understands the way things work, all that matters now is that they're the number one recalled beer. The worst thing to be is nothing and not thought about at all. Attention, in any means, it's easier to go from hate to love than it is to go from indifference to love.
Yeah, right? Wife says the opposite of hate is not love.
Yeah, indifference. I personally believe that it was engineered, and a beautiful, masterful stroke of genius. And even if it wasn't engineered, people should study it and then try to engineer that, because what it did was it put Bud Light back in the limelight. Like, and so that the limelight, the show, right? It's all about a show. And so, yeah, this is the way the world works. And there are a lot of different ways that you can sell stuff. You can learn all the techniques. You can become a good salesperson and learn how to manipulate people or persuade people and all that stuff. And a lot of it's going to work for a year or 2 months or 3 months until that tires out, that technique becomes tired out, and you have to go find a new one. But you know what never tires out, unless you let it, is fame. And fame will weather all storms, and fame will be the rising tide that lifts all ships. Your SEO will perform better. Your direct marketing will perform better. Your team will perform better because they'll like working for your company more. You know, Geico is a great example. Nobody buys Geico because of the funny commercials, right? I mean, they do, right, but not directly. You know, the funny commercials make sure that everybody knows about Geico, so that the next time you're looking for car insurance and the Geico pops up as one of the options, it's like, okay, I'm going to check that one. I'm not going to check out, I'm not going to check out like Greenleaf Capital. I don't know who they are. Sounds like a scam. Geico, yeah. I know who they are, you know? So fame really helps in all of these situations.
That definitely ties in. I was talking to my friend Michael McDougald at Right Thing Agency, and there was a case study where they had they'd bought some influencer time, actually a bunch of people, to wear this particular set of pink pants for their brand, and their goal was to sell it. And it worked. That, like, a flush on Instagram, on TikTok, a bunch of influencers were wearing these particular pink pants. But, they couldn't always say the name. It was just, hoping that they would go and search them. The problem was they didn't check in with their digital marketing guy, and they ran out of their first run of pink pants within the first day, and their e-commerce shop displayed, out of content, and they dropped off of the first page, and their competitor, who had similar but different pink pants, now ranked number one, and all of their influencer campaign budget just went down the toilet and promoted their, because organically people searching for that style of pink pants didn't find them, they found somebody else. So I love the thought process, like, that ties into that fame piece of it and creating attention, but also you gotta have some fundamentals to back it up. You gotta have your e-commerce store set up the correct way. You gotta have, if the wind's blowing, you gotta have sales to catch it.
100%. A lot of people have, SEO is marketing, it's not advertising. A lot of people have forgotten what advertising is. Advertising, publicity, Advertising is really just, hello, I'm here. Advertising is brand awareness. Everything else is marketing, right? Now, P.T. Barnum, who did all of them and invented most of them, believe it or not, he didn't distinguish. He called it all just publicity. But the part that I focus on is the attention part. But I'm not an idiot. I'm not going to say that's all you have to have is the attention. Like, you know, whereas a lot of the people on the other end, you know, will say that my part's not that important. You know, it's, you know why? Because they'll say, oh, brand awareness, attention, all of these things. That attention is the new word for brand awareness. I don't care what you say. Like, fine. Retention, brand awareness. You know, the problem is how do you quantify that? How do you track that? How do you, you know, that's the argument, right? I was sitting. So the other thing that I do is I will help clients. I will help brands find the right agencies for them. For that's another part of my job, believe it or not. I don't talk as much, really, because it's a very confusing time out there for a lot of brands. So I'll sit and I'll listen and I'll be like, because I have such a vast knowledge of advertising history, like I can pretty much pinpoint like where they are and know what somebody else did back then and be like, okay, this is the type of agency that you need right now. And I was sitting in a pitch before I was coming on. They were like, oh, well, this direct response or performance marketing agency is coming. Okay, I'll sit, listen. And they were talking and the guy asked them, well, what about, you know, brand awareness? And he goes, well, the problem with brand awareness is how do you track it? You know, we can track everything. We can do this, we can do that, and whatever. And it's a funny thing because what I said to the guy couldn't hold myself back. I was like, actually, brand awareness is the easiest thing to track. All of these numbers that you have on the screen, all this proves to me is that your thing's the harder thing to track. Brand awareness and attention is the easiest thing to track because there's no middle ground. There's no moving needles. It either is working or it's not working.
Right. The binary. Yeah.
You know, like what, why do I need sophisticated tools to know that? If you want to, you could go out and do like these starch things. You can go out and ask people, name a light beer and see if you're top of mind. Right. Like, but at the end of the day, people are either talking about you on social media or they're not. Right. And so if you're not getting, or they're talking about you at the trade show or they're not, or they're like, that's the easiest thing in the world. Now tracking that to sales. Hey, I will admit 100% that is very hard to do, but that's not my job. That's where you guys take it. I just make your job.
Yeah, that's leaving me the hard job.
Right. But like you, but when you, when I get you the attention, and then your direct marketing and performance marketing starts going up, guess who gets the attribution? You do. You claim all the success, right? But it's teamwork. It's both of us. It's not just you. And so, like, what do you want to, you know, why do you want to fight about this? Like, let's work together on this. And so, you know, On the one hand, your marketing strategy should be holistic, but it's also important to understand the fragmented parts of it in the sense that my job is to just get you attention. Don't go to those guys to get attention. Come to me to get attention, and I will work with those guys. And I know how to work with those guys, and I work with a lot of performance marketers and stuff like that who understand the importance of it. So that's just, you know, that's the world we live in. Everything is confused and fragmented and whatnot. But certainly when it comes to you and your personal brand, right, and what you're trying to do, I mean, there's just no doubt in my mind that if you put on a show, right, and do things to get attention, you will see success. Now, here's the other problem with that. This one's a real mind bender. So someone recently asked me on another podcast, they asked me, what do you do if you're getting attention, but it's not leading to sales? What do you have to change in order to increase the sales? And I just leaned forward and said, you need to change your business. Because attention, the reason why a lot of people don't like to do the attention and brand awareness thing is because it's either working or it doesn't. You're either a failure or a success. And more attempts will be failures than success because getting attention is a harder thing to do. Much harder thing to do. How many movies are made every year that bomb? How many? It's extremely hard to do. So most people don't even try doing it. So what you're telling me is you're doing something that's getting a lot of attention, which is the harder thing to do, but it's not leading sales. It's not leading to sales. The problem isn't with the attention part. The problem is somewhere in the middle, somewhere with the sales part or your business in general. Like, yeah, I'm sorry, you wanted to be a florist, but you're going viral on TikTok for
balloon arches.
What'd you say?
Balloon arches.
Balloon arches?
Yeah, like those massive, like people are like totally obsessed over like, okay, you know, yeah, ridiculously oversized balloon arches.
For your school, for your skills with balloon arches. If I were you, I'd change my business. Or I would add balloon arch whatever to the forest thing. You know, like, which is not, wouldn't be that hard of a thing to do, right? Like, stop trying, right. Like, you know, I'm sorry your dream didn't work out, you know, like, but you can make money and it seems like you're having a lot of fun with that balloon arch thing. So change your business because, again, the world is telling you what your brand is and you don't want, if you don't want to listen, that's not my problem. I didn't do anything wrong, you know?
I think that's interesting because there is a space of like SEOs often get hired to try to, you know, rank number one for a business that has no business being ranked number one. They're not good at, you know, their product is not the best. Their service is not the best. So sometimes it's like mission impossible and being assigned that. But it's also kind of a disconnect of like we're hired to do these marketing things, but we're not actually brought into the room for any of the business decisions. And, you know, there's a kind of a siloing of like, oh, we're going to do business X, Y, and Z. And, oh, can you get somebody to do the SEO, you know, as like an afterthought? And I think it's tying into that same concept of like, keep it all in the same room. And also, you know, like maybe there are things that need to be fixed in the business, you know, on, you know, are you extremely complete? Like, are you one of those software vendors that doesn't display a price? You know, you have to jump on a demo in order to find out how much this stupid thing costs. Like, you know, like there are some basic business decisions that, you know, like I get it that you want to, you need that sales pitch moment, but at the same time, like it could be the thing that's preventing you from capitalizing. You're getting a lot of attention. You got a good founder out there. They get to the site, but they have to jump on with their entire team to get a pitch to sell the software. Like, you know, maybe that's just something in the model that needs to be reviewed.
I think that's really smart. I mean, I used to tell my clients all the time that, and I'd be shocked even when they'd be like, okay, well, what kind of guarantees can you make? And I said, there are no guarantees in marketing. This is one of the first things I say now. There's no guarantees in publicity. There's no guarantees in marketing. I can't guarantee you anything because there are too many other factors at play. If you want to pay me more to get involved with more of your business, I can help possibly alleviate those things. But again, you are hiring me to handle your attention and you are hiring me to handle your SEO. So I'm coming in with good faith that you already have those other things fixed. All I know how to do is fix this part of the machine, right? And from my experience, I know how that part of the machine is affected by other parts of the machine. And all I can do is say, well, we're getting the traffic. It's going through, but it's not getting here. So maybe the, you maybe, like, I'll admit, maybe we're getting the wrong type of traffic. Let's try, you know. But when that doesn't work, then it's like, okay, well, maybe your messaging is off. Maybe, you know, maybe, like, who knows what it is, you know. Maybe the white paper is not, that you're trying to get the email, you know, collect emails with, is not enticing enough. Maybe, you know, like, but like, that's not my, as an SEO person, that's not my job. If you need help with that, I know somebody who could help you with that, or we do that too. Maybe you do. Like, it depends how big your business is. But the point is it's very important to be very upfront with that. And it's a scary, at first, it, like when I heard that advice, I was scared about it, but when I just started saying it, it actually helps you get more sales, because it's just honesty. It's just like, it's honesty. And I, you know, I will never, ever, ever offer a guarantee, because unless I'm your CMO, I'm not offering any guarantees. And I tell the CMO, you're the only one that has to make guarantees, not me. Like, it's not my, you control the entire marketing spectrum, not me. You know, I'm just doing the ads, or I'm just doing the publicity, or I'm just doing the SEO. So,
I know you're a really good showman. I've really enjoyed this conversation. Sure. Want to make sure that people are able to find you. So I think, shout out your site, your company. I know you said you are on LinkedIn. Talk about some of the stuff that's coming up for you. I'll make sure that links appear in the show notes, but spam it out. Let's hear what you got.
You can find me on LinkedIn. That is where I'm most prolific. So Justin Oberman, linkedin.com/in/Justin Oberman is where you can find me. Follow me, reach out to me, whatever you want. The publicity side of my business is Oberman and Partners. And the educational side, where I teach people how to do their own publicity for themselves, essentially, is called Genius Scouts. And we have a lot of things coming out for Genius Scouts really soon. We have an academy that's already in existence and is running. We do a free workshop every month, which you can find at the website geniusscouts.com. And then you go to masterclass, and you can apply to be in the next one. You have to apply. We don't accept everybody. You gotta have pizzazz to be in it. Otherwise, I don't want to waste your time. Right. And it's free. So, but the point is, and it's free, and there's no upsells, there's no nothing. It's just, I'm just trying to change people's minds about the way that they should see it more as publicity than personal branding and all that stuff. And like I said, we do have an academy that's, you know, $1,000 a month that you can join. And we meet every Wednesday. Everybody who takes the free masterclass also joins Genius Tuesdays group that I have on WhatsApp, where basically every Thursday I give a sort of prompt to write a LinkedIn post for the following Tuesday, and we all write it together on the same topic, and we all share knowledge and stuff like that. It's not a pod. It really is about sharing knowledge and seeing the way the LinkedIn algorithm works. And but it's also, a lot of people find it very motivating and whatnot. Every other Thursday, I run I do a free AMA as well, and Ask Me Anything on LinkedIn Live, and you can look out for that. I have a newsletter that goes out every Tuesday where I deep dive into a lot of these topics, and that's all part of the Genius Scouts universe. But like I said, the Oberman and Partners is the done-for-you service publicity part of the business, and I still do the occasional copywriting and advertising and marketing work. I am part of a network called Jumpsuit. And so if you have marketing or advertising needs, I'd be happy to talk to you about it and then see what the network. Yeah, I think that's it. I'm on other social media as well, but love it if you would follow me on X and Instagram. the other, we're going to be building up our YouTube channel more soon. And I would also love to try and figure out X. It's been a challenge for me so far. And mostly it's just been the time that I can put into it. Obviously, you just can't post things. But I would, if you want to follow me there, I think my handle is Obercreative with an 8, O-B-E-R-C-R, the number 8, I-V-E. And I think that's also my handle on Instagram.
Thanks so much for your time, Justin. No, I'll make sure all of that gets linked in the show notes, and we'll see you around.
All right. Thank you so much.